And did you hear on my mind every hour of the day without your sweet inspiration?
Hey everybody, it's Tuesday night, it's 7 p.m. on the left coast, and it's time for the Tammy Jackson Show on the 405 Media. This, of course, is Tammy Jackson, and I'm welcoming you to an hour of sweet conservative inspiration. If you'd care to do so, like I tell you every single week, go ahead and interact with comments and questions on Twitter during the show. I try to keep an eye on my tweet deck, as well as the microphone and guests and whatever else I have going on. You can follow me at Tammy J, T-A-M-I-J. Now, before my first guest, Freddie Blish, calls in, I want to talk a little bit about the heroes who helped stop Devin Patrick Kelly. That was the man, the monster perhaps, who murdered 26 and wounded 20 at the First Baptist Church of Sutherland Springs, Texas. The more we find out about the people he shot and killed, the more horrific it seems. He shot these folks at point blank range. Some of them were very, very young, all the way up to 77 years old. One family lost 8 members. That's inconceivable. I cannot fathom that sort of evil. And that's precisely what this absolutely was evil. These people were worshiping, they were praising the Lord. It was toward the end of the service. They may have been praying, but they're all facing the front, and he walked in from the back. Now, the heroes are Stephen Wilford and Johnny Langendorf. Stephen was the church neighbor from across the street. He heard the shots, and he sprang into action. He was in his bare feet, but he ran and got his rifle. And in case you haven't heard this yet, I hope you have, but Stephen Wilford was a former NRA instructor, and gasp, he was a Christian man. So, as I told you, Kelly entered the church from the back, and he was in full tactical gear, including what I believe was an upgraded ballistic vest. Those vests, they're not like the soft ballistic vests that they used to wear. These are the upgraded ballistic vests, and they are pretty much bulletproof. So you have to be a good shot. It's got to be a headshot. It's got to be a gut shot, something, in the armpit area, something like that, that is outside of the vest area. So Stephen Wilford, across the street in his home, heard the shots. He grabbed his rifle and he ran barefoot across the street to confront Devin Patrick Kelly. Kelly managed to get into his SUV and he took off. But the interesting thing is that Stephen was a good enough shot. Of course, as a former NRA instructor, one would assume so. But in the heat of the moment, when there's stress, when you're running, when you're in a hurry to save lives, it's still pretty amazing that he got a shot off, and he got a shot that wounded Kelly such that Kelly took off in his SUV. Meaning that he probably, I heard that he was shot in the midsection, that was the wounding shot that Stephen got off. So I'm assuming it was a gut shot just below the ballistic vest. Don't know for sure. I'm sure we'll hear more. We'll hear more about the victims, more about the autopsy once everything is done and law enforcement chooses to put that out there. So Stephen Wilford, he shot this guy. He's done what he can to help. They exchanged gunfire. Johnny Langendorf was driving toward the shooting in his truck, perhaps wondering if he can do anything. And he sees the two men exchanging gunfire, and Stephen Wilford flags him down and jumped in and said, "We need to pursue him. That guy just shot up the church," and they took off in hot pursuit. They called law enforcement en route. And this is amazing because this is a small community. Law enforcement took 4 minutes to get to the church itself. So we're assuming they were a few miles away. Think about this. Anybody, if you're in your home and something bad goes down, we know that even law enforcement that's close, the sheriffs, the policemen, what have you, typically they are minutes away, and this bad stuff can happen in that amount of time, which is why I'm always encouraging people to have firearms, to get trained in gun safety, to get trained so that you can react and react accurately and protect yourself and others. But a lot of people don't have that training yet. Maybe this is a call to action, perhaps. So we have Stephen Wilford and Johnny Langendorf in his truck. They are chasing the assailant at speeds of about 95 miles per hour. They're on the phone with police, indicating the route and the direction so that the police can meet them and intersect this assailant. I believe that Stephen had his rifle trained on Kelly's SUV. So in this day and age, far too many people are called heroes. They call football players heroes, although fewer NFL players are called heroes all the time as they refuse to stand for our national anthem and insult a large swath of our nation who are veterans who fought and died for that flag and for that anthem itself. But in this day and age where football players and other athletes are called heroes, they're not really. They might show skill, they might show endurance, they might show team spirit, but are they really heroes? Probably not. Most of the time, not. But these two guys, Stephen Wilford and Johnny Langendorf, they were really and truly heroes. If you haven't heard this, I want to play the audio of Stephen Wilford recounting his thoughts and what happened. So let's listen right now. This is just barely over a minute long, and this is worth hearing. This is Stephen Wilford. I'm telling you, that right there is amazing. And if it doesn't move you, you had better check your pulse. Wilford said, "I was scared to death. I'm no hero. I am not." I beg to differ, Stephen Wilford. I think you are a hero. That's what a hero does, even when they're scared to death, or maybe perhaps because they are scared to death, they really truly are heroes when they run to danger. He also said, "I think my God, my Lord, protected me and gave me the skills to do what needed to be done, and I just wish I could have gotten there faster." Listening to that, I listened to it several times today, and it just choked me up. And I thought about it over and over and over again. Consider that he shot Kelly through the ballistic vest, probably a gut shot below the ballistic vest. He had the training and the presence of mind to act, to shoot, and to pursue a gunman. So, in case you're wondering, that's what we in the shooting community call being a sheepdog, a lion, someone who protects the innocent and does so fiercely. It's extremely, extremely impressive. I'm putting up an article at barbedwire.com that will publish tomorrow at 8 a.m. And it talks about hero Stephen Wilford and Johnny Langendorf, the two Texans who shot Texas church gunmen. And I write in the intro to the article pretty much what I've been saying here, but let me read my words. "These are most certainly real life heroes, and there's more to the story. Stephen Wilford, the neighbor who intervened and shot Kelly, was a former NRA instructor. He said about that night, and every time I heard a shot, I knew that that probably represented a life. I was scared to death. I'm no hero. I am not. I think my God, my Lord, protected me and gave me the skills to do what needed to be done. And I just wish I could have gotten there faster." End quote. Certainly, mainstream media and the left will hate to hear that an NRA instructor stopped an evildoer. and they will hate even more that Wilford gives God the glory. Thank God for men like Stephen Wilford. Well, not only Wilford, that's what I wrote at the beginning of this article, which will be up at 8 a.m. Eastern Time on barbedwire.com, where I'm an editor. Most of you know that. No big news. But Stephen Wilford was not only a hero, but also Johnny Langendorf was a hero as well. He didn't even hesitate when Stephen jumped in his truck. Now, a lot of you people, I hear folks now and again make fun of Texas. Oh my goodness. It's large. It's a huge state. It's kind of barren. They've got too many hurricanes and floods in Houston. They've got hot humidity. And then they've got dry tumbleweeds in the west. Who wants to go to Texas? I'll tell you what. The people that I know that live in Texas are salt of the earth people. Think about their governor. Their governor was down there, and the one thing he had to say was, we support these people. We are going to pray for these people. What they need most is prayer. He was down there hugging them, praying with them, singing hymns with them, singing praise songs with them. This guy is a Texan, and this is what Texans do. The people in this church, they were killed, about half of the people in the service. They say there were about 50 there. 26 of them were shot and killed at point blank range. 20 of them were wounded. And I'm assuming if you've got an AR-15 platform such that Kelly had, and you're shooting people at point blank range, that means that you've got through and throughs that will wound other people behind the people that are the immediate victims. This is what happened. So he probably had maybe a 30 rounder. This will cause all the gun grabbers to stroke out and say, we need to get rid of the 30 rounder magazines. They'll be worrying about that. The gun grabbers will go off. But the problem being, this guy, this Devin Kelly, we know that he had mental problems. That's what he had. And yet it was a hero, Stephen Wilford, with his gun that stopped him. I think that we ought to thank God that Stephen Wilford was there, and we ought to be praying for those people and understand that a good guy with a gun can stop a bad guy with a gun. I'll be joined after the break by Robar Company President Freddie Blish.
You're on the 405.
Shop Amazon, support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the Talk Alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you.
The President and I have witnessed firsthand the compassion and commitment of Americans as friends, neighbors, and strangers continue to volunteer time and money to help one another following the recent hurricanes. Your help is still needed. Donate to an organization of your choice and volunteer to help your fellow Americans. Visit NVOAD.org. and ready.gov to learn more.
Pops Radio, short for Pissed Off, Politically Speaking, with Scott Jones on the 405media.com.
Brett Baer, thanks for joining us from Washington.
Hey, great to be here.
Tom Rogan, thanks for being with us.
Great to be with you, Scott. Thanks for having me on.
Cheryl Atkinson, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Is Washington just totally dysfunctional? I mean, to me, this is just unprecedented, Cheryl.
These ties are so deep now, and so at least giving the appearance of corruption, I think people have come to just kind of throw up their hands and distrust nearly every official establishment body.
And your words here on our air today should be horrifying, if not motivating, for anyone who's sitting on the fence about this.
Pissed Off, Politically Speaking, Monday, 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern, only on the 405media.com.
You're on the 405.
Whoa, a new digital music player. Thanks, Mom.
Oh, I'm glad you like it, because I can't wait to toss the big stereo. And now that we got your dad that big HD TV he wanted, we can throw out our old TV, too.
Hold up. You can't just throw out electronics.
Really?
They need to be recycled or donated.
And how would we do that?
It's so easy, Mom. Today, recycling electronics is just as easy as buying them. GreenerGadgets.org has all the info. We just enter our zip code to find a certified recycling center nearby. There are thousands of them, and new ones are being added all the time. Some of our local stores are even certified recycling locations.
I like that.
Did you know that some of the stuff in our old electronics can be used to make new products and conserve natural resources?
Well, okay then. Let's gather them up. What was that website again?
GreenerGadgets.org. We just enter our zip code and go.
This is Mike from the Wrestling Mayhem Show, the show where we get fans and people in the wrestling industry together to talk about pro wrestling, WWE, NXT, WrestleMania, all kinds of fun. It's a podcast party. Check it out, Wrestling Mayhem Show, right here on the 405 Media.
Listen to the Wrestling Mayhem Show, now 7 nights a week, 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern, right here on the 405media.com.
The 405.
I love Tammy.
I love you back, Kurt, because I'm a caring kind of gal.
The Tammy Jackson Show.
I'm just one conservative gal encouraging you to keep fighting the good fight.
Tammy is what conservative insurgency is about.
Tammy Jackson, the granddaughter of legal immigrants.
In Honduras, they had 60,000 murders per 100,000, or something like that. And I thought, whoa, that is a lot.
Like every other person on the block is dead.
Tammy Jackson, the emerging threat from the West Coast.
Tammy has made herself into a rising radio star.
When we have these mass amounts just suddenly pour into the United States, we have a worse problem than we already have had with assimilation.
The Tammy Jackson Show, Tuesday nights, 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, only on the 405media.com.
Anything for you, Tammy.
The 405.
The President and I have witnessed firsthand the compassion and commitment of Americans as friends, neighbors, and strangers continue to volunteer time and money to help one another following the recent hurricanes. Your help is still needed. Donate to an organization of your choice and volunteer to help your fellow Americans. Visit nvoad.org and ready.gov. To learn more.
We are a bold and active voice for the unborn. We are Audio Girl Ministries, saving the lives of babies by helping moms in crisis pregnancies get past the crisis. How? Free ultrasound imaging so the woman can see the life she's carrying, and by supplying her with essential baby items, diapers, clothes, food, crib, car seat, all given with a loving and caring heart. Want to help? Log on to audiogirlministries.com and make a tax-deductible donation. audiogirlministries.com. Thanks.
This is Tammy Jackson on the 405 Media, and I was supposed to be Blish, but we have not been able to find him. Every once in a while this happens. People get lost out there in the digital universe, and who knows what happens. So he may be calling in, he may not. If not, and I'm prepared for this, but I'm going to talk about what Freddie and I were going to talk about. So if he calls in case, to refresh your memory, who is Freddie Blish? USMC Lieutenant Colonel retired Freddie Blish joined the Marine Corps on 25 February 1983. He served in the 8th Engineer Support Battalion, Marine Corps Security Force Company Panama, 1st Combat Engineer Battalion, 1st Marine Division, Marine Forces Pacific Korea CENTCOM, Headquarters, Marine Corps, and Operation Iraqi Freedom 1 and 2. He's also the president and owner of Robar Companies, Inc., and instructor at Lieutenant Colonel Jeff Cooper's Gunsight Academy. Now, the reason I wanted to have Freddie on the show, wherever he may be, somewhere out there in Arizona, in the wilds of Arizona, is Freddie Blish. And I'm unable to find him, but I wanted to have him on because this Friday is Veterans Day, and Robar has a very, very special firearm that's going to debut about then. Now, there's not a lot of time, but I got to tell you about this. This is pretty phenomenal. This firearm is a Robar RC-50. And if you don't know what that is, this is a rifle. It's an amazing rifle that, of course, is chambered for the 50 caliber, and which means that is a huge, huge, powerful round. It's a 50 caliber BMG. Now, it's like a sniper rifle that's been beefed up. And you say, if you're not used to the 50 cal, how powerful is that? It can take out engines in motor vehicles unless they have the super armor on them. But other engines on other vehicles, it'll take them out. It'll stop an engine. It's pretty amazing. The Coast Guard has been using the Robar RC-50, and they've used them while patrolling the coast. It's very interesting. Their aviation and their marine craft have been fitted with the RC-50 laser-sighted 50 cal rifles. And these weapons, they've been used to disable the outboard engines of contraband carrying speedboats in the Gulf of Mexico and Caribbean Sea operations. Now, this is pretty interesting stuff. I'll read you something about the RC-50. The HH-60J Seahawk, this is a helicopter, folks, informally known as the Jayhawk. It's a medium-range recovery helicopter. It's the platform used to perform search and rescue, law enforcement, military readiness, and marine environment protection missions. The aircraft can be fitted with the U.S. Coast Guard's Airborne Use of Force, that's the AUF package, which includes an M240 machine gun and Robar RC-50 precision rifle. Now, let me tell you a little bit about this rifle, and this is pretty amazing, and there's a reason I'm telling you all this. The RC-50 features a precision CNC machine customized bolt action system of operation. It feeds from a 5-round detachable magazine inserted in the underside of the receiver in the usual way. The gun weighs a manageable 25 pounds and sports an overall length of 36 inches with a barrel measuring 29 inches long. That's a pretty good length of barrel. Like others in its field, the RC-50 is chambered to fire the massive, powerful 50 BMG cal, which gives it good penetration against light armor and fortified structures. Such weapons are useful in disabling armored vehicles by targeting specific components in their design, so that'd be sensors, track links, driver positions, etc. Effective range of the RC-50 system is 2,000 meters. Sighting is primarily through the 16x telescopic scope. The receiver is designed to accept a plethora of aftermarket scope types and to suit the mission and operator requirements. Externally, the RC-50 showcases the design lines of a traditional sniper rifle, its dimensions simply enlarged for the heavy rifle role. So this is a pretty phenomenal rifle, folks. Also, a hinged folding bipod is fitted under the forend to support the forward mass of the weapon when shooting. Really, really amazing. Well, here's the thing. The U.S. Coast Guard is beginning to retire this powerful rifle. I wanted Freddie to talk about that. So I'm disappointed he's on. I'll have him on
Hello?
Wells, etc. But now, as they begin to retire this powerful rifle, shooting enthusiasts will have an opportunity to own a piece of history, because Robar is producing a commemorative RC-50 rifle. It will be engraved with United States property, USCG, and we'll have the prototype soon. But this rifle is being debuted this weekend. Pretty amazing. It's a hefty price. I'll give you that. But to own a piece of history, which is essentially what you would have with this rifle. So, excuse me. This rifle will be a beauty. It'll be exceedingly rare. It will be an addition to anybody's long gun collection. Once again, this is the Robar RC-50. Now, on the show page, I have this linked, and you can get the information. You can go to robarguns.com, and they will allow pre-ordering of this rifle. You can do it online. You can call them up. I know that people in the area will want to see if there's any way they can shoot this rifle. I'll find out from Freddie at a later date if they're going to be having some events around there, perhaps out at the Avery gun range. I'm not sure. But we will find out, because if they are, you will want to see this rifle. It's pretty phenomenal. I've already heard from friends all over the country, many of whom knew Coasties that used this weapon. It's phenomenal. So, once again, coming this weekend, Memorial Day, by the way, thank you, veterans, for your service. A lot of times I will have a special. Oh, we've got Freddie on live. I've just told all about the RC-50, and I have about 2 minutes left, Freddie, and I have to have another guest coming on. But the one thing I didn't know, which you can tell us, why is the Coast Guard retiring the RC-50?
Hey, Tammy, it's great to hear your voice and to talk to you. And I knew that talking Tammy would make up for my tardiness and being able to get on the line with you. You would be able to cover that 15 minutes without even thinking about it. No, to answer your question, the RC-50 had been in service for over a quarter of a century, 25 years, and repair parts had become an issue. We don't build that many 50 caliber bolt action rifles anymore, and in order to have those parts on hand, of course, we've got to order them in quantities that are large enough where we can keep the price at a reasonable level. And then the big reason was that the rest of the military had shifted to the Barrett 50 caliber for anti-materiel, small arms system. And so the repair parts, replacement parts in the military inventory between the Army and the Marine Corps and the Navy, it was just much easier for them to source those repair parts from, the military as a whole with the Barrett 50 cal. So that's the reason why the Coast Guard had phased it out. And it's whereas the Robar 50 cal was extremely accurate, the Barrett is less so. Not that it's a bad weapon system, but it's, they're shooting the engines out of fast boats, drug runners, and that's what now they're using that system. And so they could, go away from a more precise bolt action, 50 caliber, anti-materiel rifle to a, Barrett, which, had repair parts ready for them to go. And didn't have to be quite as accurate. And so they were able to meet their needs with the Barrett.
Okay, gotcha. Now, it's debuting on or around Veterans Day, which means we're getting closer. So
It is a one-of-a-kind, because what it is yes. I had one receiver set left from the build. And so we thought that in honor of the Coast Guard's use of our rifle for so many years, and the in honor of their service for our country, defending it, the coastlines, and what we would build one last rifle. It'll be a commemorative one. It'll be the last one. So it's kind of one of those first come, first serve, that whoever lays claim to that will they'll be the one to to have it, and it won't be another one.
And they'll have a piece of history.
Yes, they will. Yes, they will.
They
and,
will.
You know, those, yeah, and the, you know, the Coast Guard missed teams, they were using those from, you know, shooting them from their Seahawk helicopters. I can only imagine shooting that 50 cal, you know, which weighs about 30 pounds from a seated position in a helicopter. It probably was not the most, you know, comfortable shooting rifle from that. But they used it, and they used it with great, accuracy. And, you know, they're very, very effective with it.
Wow. Wow. Well, I've got to say goodbye. I had you for a little bit, so I'm glad. I'll have you back again, and we can talk for longer.
Yes.
Thank you, Freddie. And I'm just excited to see pictures of this rifle once the build is done, and to see who gets their hands on it, because it just sounds like an amazing long gun to me.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it really, really is. And it's, we're just excited to be able to offer, you know, a commemorative one for, you know, as we kind of close a chapter on the Coast Guard's history.
Sounds fantastic. Well, thanks for joining me for a little bit, and I'll have you back, Freddie.
All right, Tammy. Thanks for having me on the show.
You bet. Take care.
Take care.
You're listening to the Tammy Jackson Show on the 405. I'll be back on the other side of the break with Clarion Project Advisory Board member Raheel Raza. The Tammy Jackson Show is brought to you by rentacomputer.com. They deliver the rental hardware your event needs to your office, trade show booth, or event venue location anywhere in the United States or Canada, including iPads, iPhones, tablets, copiers, etc. So, if you're planning your next corporate event, remember rentacomputer.com or call them at 800-736-8772. That's rentacomputer.com, sponsor of the Tammy Jackson Show.
You're on the 405.
Shop Amazon, support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the talk alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you.
This is Mike from the Wrestling Mayhem Show, the show where we get fans and people in the wrestling industry together to talk about pro wrestling, WWE, NXT, WrestleMania, all kinds of fun. It's a podcast party. Check it out, Wrestling Mayhem Show, right here on the 405 Media.
Listen to the Wrestling Mayhem Show, now 7 nights a week, 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern, right here on the 405media.com.
You're on the 405.
Children are at greater risk than adults from contaminants carried by floodwater. Since they dehydrate faster, they need to drink plenty of fluids. If the safety of your water is in question, either use bottled water or bring tap water to a rolling boil for at least 1 minute, and let it cool before use. You should also keep children away from mud and make sure they don't play with anything that may have become polluted by floodwater or sludge. From the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency.
Whoa, a new digital music player. Thanks, Mom.
Oh, I'm glad you like it, because I can't wait to toss the big stereo. And now that we got your dad that big HD TV he wanted, we can throw out our old TV, too.
Hold up. You can't just throw out electronics.
Really?
They need to be recycled or donated.
And how would we do that?
It's so easy, Mom. Today, recycling electronics is just as easy as buying them. GreenerGadgets.org has all the info. We just enter our zip code to find a certified recycling center nearby. There are thousands of them, and new ones are being added all the time. Some of our local stores are even certified recycling locations.
I like that.
Did you know that some of the stuff in our old electronics could be used to make new products and conserve natural resources?
Well, okay then. Let's gather them up. What was that website again?
GreenerGadgets.org. We just enter our zip code and go.
Whoa. Welcome back, everyone. This is Tammy Jackson. I'm a little over halfway through the show, and now I'm joined by my guest, Rahil Raza. Rahil Raza is a member of the Clarion Project Advisory Board. She's president of the Council for Muslims Facing Tomorrow, a founding member of the Muslim Reform Movement, author of the book Their Jihad, Not My Jihad, award-winning journalist, public speaker, advocate for human rights. Rahil speaks at places of worship, the private sector, school boards, and government institutions. She's been invited to the parliaments of Sweden, UK, Israel, and to Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. She's also the voice of the Clarion's short film project, By the Numbers, and stars in Honor Diaries. Rahil, welcome to the Tammy Jackson Show, and thanks for taking the time to be on.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You know, I have had Ryan Morrow on a number of times, so it's terrific to have a Clarion Project colleague of his also on the show now.
Yes, thank you.
Rahil, you have a recent article at the Daily Caller, which I have linked on the show page. I want everybody that's listening now, if you haven't read this article, as soon as we're done at the top of the hour, you need to go to this link. It's at the Daily Caller. The article is titled ISIS Halloween Terror Ordered Last Thanksgiving. Rahil writes at the beginning of the article, "Once again, evil has struck New York City. ISIS terrorist Saifulo Saipov," he has a longer name than that, but I absolutely could not pronounce the middle name, so I've shortened it. "He used a rented truck to run down and kill 8 innocent people and injure at least a dozen more. Our thoughts and prayers are with the families of the victims and those injured, but we cannot say we did not see this coming. Last year, ISIS urged its followers in the West to use rented trucks to murder innocent people in New York, singling out the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade as an excellent target. Less than a year later, a terrorist rented a truck and murdered people in the name of ISIS, mere steps from the World Trade Center. The terrorist shouted, Allahu Akbar, announcing to all who would listen the reason for his cowardly terrorist attack." So, Rahil, if our intelligence agencies are paying attention, we should expect attacks during certain holidays and in certain general locations.
Well, yes, they should. In fact, I think that the whole world needs to be a little more alert. Our security agencies, our law enforcement need to understand that the terrorists, ISIS and their ilk, have declared war on the West. And these are not my words. They have said it, that they have declared war on the West and its values, and they're going to find every way they can to damage us. And this includes people like me as well, by the way, who are practicing observant Muslims. But this is something that they said not now. They said it a few years ago. And we've seen the result just this year. Look at the number of terrorist attacks that have taken place, because time after time they are attacking the West. And when they can't find weapons, they use vehicles to run down people. So, as I said in my article, it is always shocking when innocent people are killed. But it wasn't a surprise at all, because the writing has been on the wall for a long time. I don't know why our security agencies are not able to track this down yet.
Wow. Rahil Raza, it seems to me, and I don't have the experience and the acumen that you do in this area, but I do read and I do pay attention, and it seems to me that dates and anniversaries are very important to ISIS and other radical Islamic terrorists.
Yes, they are, because any celebration in the West is considered for them to be sinful. And of course, they know that people gather on special dates, and they use these places where people are gathered to target their attacks, because it kills more people in one go. And this is something they've been tracking for a long time. So it's a very dangerous move. And I know that it's hard to pin it down, but since it's been happening so many times again and again, and you'll notice that when these vehicular attacks took place in London, England, the police there said that they had been tracking these guys. They had an idea who they were. They knew that they were on the list of suspicious people. But my question then is, then why did they not contain this? Why did they not, shut them up? But of course, we are then, fighting against the freedoms, the very freedoms that we want to uphold. And the terrorists use the same democracy and the same freedoms that we hold so dear to us. They use those freedoms to attack us.
Yes.
So it's a very difficult position.
Wow. They certainly take advantage of our system. As I think about this, I was horrified for even instance back in 2012 that the U.S. was not more alert and prepared prior to the Benghazi attack of 9/11/2012. As soon as it was, as we got word of it, I knew. And I thought, my goodness, this is not because of some obscure YouTube video. This is a premeditated attack by Islamic terrorists. And to me, it seemed quite evident. And I was just amazed. You continue, Raheel, in your article, ISIS Halloween terror ordered last Thanksgiving. He is not a lone wolf, as many in the media had described him. There is no such thing as a lone wolf. He did not sit alone in the woods and then one day, out of the blue, come up with the idea of renting a truck and running down innocent people while shouting Allahu Akbar. That was an instruction given by ISIS last year. Those were marching orders carried out by truck-driving Islamist terrorists from Jerusalem to Berlin to Nice to London and now in New York City. Raheel, it seems to me that if people, officials, security agencies, intelligence agencies, if they say these attacks are lone wolf attacks, there's more of a sense of helplessness and inevitability than if we realize that these are pre-planned and they are taking marching orders.
Yes, perhaps it's some kind of a defense system. I don't understand it. But time after time when there is a terrorist attack, we have anchors and, political pundits and nodding heads, people who consider themselves expert in the field. And with due respect to them, they come up saying, this was a lone wolf or, maybe there was some, mental instability. Of course, anyone who kills innocent people is mentally unstable. It's understood. That goes without saying. But the fact is that there is no such thing as a lone wolf. Someone has radicalized these people. There is always a person behind it, or an organization, or an institution, or a group of people. And, it's not hard to track down who they are. These extremists, these terrorists, have been plotting and planning for a long time. All they're doing is looking for different dates, different places, different locations, but it is a continuation of the same kind of attacks. So it's an ideology and it's a war of ideas. This is not a war of weapons. It's an ideology, so it's a war of ideas. And while it may seem to be very difficult, but we have to go to the root cause of where the hate is being taught, where the radicalization is being taught, and we have to target those areas and narrow them down. So in some ways, this is like a virus. And any doctor will tell you that if there is a virus, you have to first acknowledge it, then you have to isolate it, and then you have to treat it. We have not even come to the first level in the West of acknowledging what the problem is. The regressive left, the political correctness, it does not allow us to have the conversations that are so important in order to pinpoint where the problem lies. And so, as a practicing Muslim, my organization, the Council for Muslims Facing Tomorrow, works in partnership with the Carrion Project. And, we work on the three E's, which is expose the problem, educate the masses, and then empower change from within and eliminate the problem. So we have to work together. And this is why I'm on the advisory board of the Carrion Project, because the Carrion Project exposes radicalization in many different parts of the world, and also gives voice to reformist Muslims like myself. And this is the important differentiation between Islam as a faith like Judaism and Christianity, and Islamism, which is a political ideology that is the root cause of the evil that has been perpetuated, of the terrorism, of the violence, of all the destruction that is caused by the terrorists. So once we differentiate between the two, then we can actually isolate the problem, the terrorists, their ideology, and we should be able to find solutions for it.
Yes, yes. In case you're just joining the show, my great guest this half hour is Raheel Araza. She's a member of the Clarion Project Advisory Board. She's president of the Council for Muslims Facing Tomorrow and a founding member of the Muslim Reform Movement, author of the book Their Jihad, Not My Jihad. She's done a number of things. I've got it listed and I've got links up at the show page. And the Clarion Project, some of you might be familiar with that because I've had Ryan Morrow on before, who is at the Clarion Project, and it is a nonprofit organization. They educate the public about the dangers of radical Islam. They've got award-winning films. They expose radical Islamists, how they use terrorism, murder, subjugation of women, indoctrination of children, etc. It's really, really a great organization. So if you want to check them out, I've got them linked. It's clarionproject.org. I think it's a great organization. Raheel Araza, of course, we're talking about your article at the Daily Caller, ISIS Halloween Terror Ordered Last Thanksgiving. Now, you write something really interesting concerning the reactions that you get from your criticism of radical Islamic terrorism. You write, "My co-religionists will go on the defensive and play the victim card. Useful idiots in politics and the media will go on the offense, attacking those like me who dare speak the truth. They have even called me, a practicing Muslim woman, an anti-Muslim and an Islamophobe in a pointless attempt to try to shut me up. Meanwhile, we have a systematic and growing problem that is not being addressed head on. Just this last year, there's been up to 13 vehicular attacks, up from 3 last year. When are we going to have the courage to open our eyes, ears, and our voices to speak out?" Raheel, what is your opinion of President Donald Trump's extreme vetting orders?
Well, it's something that needs to be done. You know, we are living in a world that is very traumatic, where we have a great deal of challenges. And while he may not be the most diplomatic person on the face of this earth, some of the policies that he has put into place are for the safety and security of his country and the people who live in his country, including Muslims. So, you know, when the situation becomes as extreme as it has become now, where week after week, day after day, there are attacks, and then there is intimation that there will be more, then something like this needs to be done. And, you know, it's a process. It needs to, the policies need to be put into place. But he is on the right track. He actually has called out those countries who have been promoting and funding terrorism and slapped them on the hand and said, "You have to clean up your house." This is something no other leader of the United States or any Western country has ever done before. So, you know, we have to give him credit where it's due.
Yes, I agree with that myself. When I heard about the visa diversity lottery, I'm ashamed to say that I didn't know much about it before the attack. And then when I heard that this guy who ran over the people in New York City, that he was part of that program, I was just aghast. Could not believe it, that we thought it was a good idea to do a visa diversity lottery as opposed to having merit-based immigration. And I'm talking to somebody, Raheel, I'm the granddaughter of Norwegian immigrants. And so my relatives came from Norway. They wanted a better life for themselves and their progeny, being me and my brothers, etc. So I am very pro-immigration. I absolutely am. But I think we've got to be wise about it, and we've got to understand that there are those people that want to destroy us and our Western values. You also talk in your article that I've got linked on the show page. It's time we had an open, honest conversation about what is going on without calling names, without trying to shut down dialogue. Remember, it could be our families next. We need to ask tough questions like, what action is being taken against ISIS fighters coming home to Western countries? What action is being taken to get to the root of radicalization based on teaching hate? When there are converts involved, who is converting them? What are they teaching them? So something I wanted to ask you, Raheel, is do we know? I would think that we should have some sort of intelligence that tells us where the centers are, the mosques that are teaching radical Islamic terrorism, because I know that there are mosques in the U.S. and perhaps in Canada as well that have imams that are doing this. Do you know of any programs that are tracking that?
Well, I know for a fact that there are some mosques that are perpetuating hate, and I believe if I know it, then certainly our intel must know it because they're supposed to be the experts. So I don't see any reason why our security agencies are not aware of this. I think that this is political correctness that's holding them back from actually taking any action. But, you know, in Europe, there has been a change. In France, they now have a law that the sermons that are given at the mosque have to be in the language of the country, and they are going to actually track the sermons to see that there's no hate being perpetuated, which I think is a very good idea. You know, I cherish our freedoms, and as you had mentioned, I'm an immigrant as well. But I think the intention of how we live here and what we teach our children is very important. You know, to teach a sense of loyalty to the land in which you live, that is, by the way, a very Islamic concept. The idea that you must have loyalty to the land in which you live, unless you're forced to go against your faith, but we have religious freedom, more religious freedoms in Western democracies than in many theocracies that I have seen. So certainly a sense of loyalty is something that is missing in the conversation, in the kind of teaching that is done in classrooms, in what is being taught in various institutions. So I'm sure that, as you say, the security agencies do have an idea of where this is coming from, but are they going to do something about it? That is the bigger question. So this is work that has to be done at every level by government agencies, law enforcement, Muslims, non-Muslims, civil society. This, when a bomb goes off or when an attack like the one in New York happens, it hits at the heart of America and it affects all Americans, regardless of where they came from, regardless of who they are, what the color of their skin, what faith they follow. It is about the safety and security of the American people. And I think everybody should buy into this without having knee-jerk reactions or without dividing themselves along political lines or religious lines or race lines. This, unless people together decide that, you know, when communism was an evil in society, when fascism was an evil in society, the whole world stood up against it. Now we have Islamism, which is this political ideology. It's not Islam and it's not all Muslims. Don't get me wrong. This is very important for your listeners also to understand that racism, hatred, and bigotry is not the solution. The solution is to have a balanced conversation, to be able to find policies and together fight this battle for the soul of Islam.
Yes, yes. I tell you, Raheel, so many people ask, and I've done this myself in the past, where are the peace-loving Muslims who will call this terrorism what it is? So getting acquainted with you just does my heart good. Because I can say I know a woman who is doing just that. And so what I want to say to you is thank you for your efforts to alert and educate folks. I think what you're doing is extremely worthy. And I just hope that our intelligence agencies are really listening to your message.
Well, I hope so too. I was invited to give testimony to the U.S. Congress in July, and this is exactly what I said to them as well. that, you know, you have to track the roots of radicalization, and you have to work with those Muslims who are the frontline warriors in this battle. There is the Muslim Reform Movement, which is Muslims in America, in Canada, across the globe, who have come together to bring Muslims into the 21st century and to very honestly and openly discuss the problem that we are dealing with without any kind of knee-jerk reaction, as I said, to be able to say that, look, we have a problem and we have to work at this together. This is we have to find solutions together. And we can't do this if we don't listen to each other, if we don't allow communication to flow. So I'm so pleased and really honored that you have me on this program, because this is an opportunity to spread the word.
Yes, yes. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show, Raheel Raza. And I want everybody to go to the show page. I've got the Clarion Project linked. I've got your article linked, as well as I have a link to Honor Diaries, which I haven't seen that yet, and I want to. And I would love to have you back sometime, Raheel.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it very much.
Okay. Thanks for listening to the Tammy Jackson Show on the 405. I will be back next week with more great guests. Until then, this is Tammy Jackson reminding you to wake up. Do not be silent. Let your voices be heard, because we have a country to save.
I cut my teeth on the back of an old church pew. I learned to walk in the ways of light and truth, and I was told not to speak till I was spoken to. I heard it preach what I should and I should not do, and the choir sang. Boy, no more. I've seen some things that a man just can't ignore. And this world's gonna see what I'm standing for. I've kept my peace, but I can't hold my tongue anymore. You can't buy my silence. You can't steal my voice. You can't. Down, tell me to shut my mouth, but there's a time to speak, and the time is now. The squeaky wheel is always getting greens. Well, I've been sitting still on the side of the street, always tiptoeing, trying not to wake the beast. Oh, but here I come. All your monsters are gonna run from me. You can't buy my silence. You can't steal my voice. You can't keep me quiet. I will bring the noise. Try to beat me down. I will.